heard about two little boys who, two little brothers who went to spend the night at their grandparents' house right before Christmas. And their grandmother, they called her Grammy. Grammy, she showed them to their room, and before they went to sleep, she knelt down beside them and said, "Let's say our prayers." And immediately, the youngest boy began to pray at the top of his lungs. He began to shout, "Dear Jesus, I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new PlayStation 4. I pray for a new iPad." And his brother said, "Hey, man, why are you praying so loud? God's not deaf." He said, "I know God ain't deaf, but Grammy is." Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you get everything you asked for. Well, this is our official Christmas service today at Generation Church, and we're going to have fun. Are y'all ready to have a little fun? Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. Listen, if you never have fun serving Jesus, you're not doing it right. This morning, we're going to learn the meaning of the song, "The 12 Days of Christmas." You see, today we celebrate Christmas Day on December 25th. We have one day of Christmas, but in the Christian tradition, there are actually 12 days of Christmas beginning on December 25th and going all the way through January 5th. In the Christmas carol, "The 12 Days of Christmas" may seem like a song full of crazy random gifts, but the song was actually used to teach children about the Bible. It's based on an old song written in 1625 called "In Those 12 Days." And each of the 12 gifts represents a spiritual truth. So here's what we're going to do this morning, all right? I'm going to teach you the meaning of each gift. And then as I teach about the gift, I'm going to have volunteers from the congregation come up. And they're going to act out the different gifts from the 12 days of Christmas. So get ready to use your acting skills today. Okay, get prepared for those of you who are brave enough to rise to the occasion. I'm going to be looking for a lot of volunteers this morning, and then we'll sing the song and act it out as we go through it. Y'all okay with that? Whether you are or not, it's about to happen. All right, it's going to be fun. Number one, a partridge in a pear tree. Here's the meaning of that. The partridge in the pear tree is Jesus on the cross. The 12 days of Christmas has to begin with Jesus. Why? Because he's the greatest Christmas gift of them all. John 3:16-17 says, "God so loved the world that he gave," that's his gift to us, "he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Christmas isn't just about Jesus being born. Christmas is about why he was born. Jesus came to save you and me, and he paid the price for us. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So the partridge in a pear tree is Jesus on the cross. Here's something you may not know about a partridge. A partridge is known for its tenacity. A partridge is willing to fight to the death to defend its young. You see, Jesus fought to the death for us. He fought for us at the whipping post. He fought for us as he carried the cross up Calvary's hill to Golgotha. He fought for us when they put the nails in his hands and his feet. Jesus fought to the death for you and me. For 3 days he fought death, hell, and the grave. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of God, and Jesus reigns forever. Philippians 2:8 says, "Being found in fashion as a man, he came to the earth in the form of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Tell somebody, Jesus fought for us. Come on, tell somebody else, Jesus fought for us. All right, so I see my two volunteers in the back. If you guys will come forward, you're going to be the partridge in the pear tree. We're going to get this party started this morning. All right. So who's going to be the partridge? Kamar's the partridge. You're going to be the pear tree? All right. All right, let's see how it goes. Are y'all ready? Everybody ready? Ready or not, here we go. Y'all can sing with us.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
All right, y'all don't go anywhere. Stay there. Hang with me. All right, this is gonna be fun this morning. Y'all laughing, but you're next. So what does the partridge stand for? What does the pear tree stand for? You got it. Three of y'all paying attention. That's good. All right. Number two. Second, we have two turtle doves. Two turtle doves. They stand for the two testaments of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. By the way, y'all want a little Sunday school lesson this morning? Okay. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. Okay. 3 and 9, 39. There are 27 books in the New Testament. 3 times 9. 27, huh? Yeah, you learned something today, huh? How you like that? Imagine that, learning something in church, I'll tell you. The Old Testament and the New Testament, those are our turtle doves. And in the early days of Christianity, there were actually a small group of people who said, well, the Old Testament is not relevant to us anymore. We're under the New Covenant, so let's just read the New Testament, throw out the Old, but we can't do that, right? Why? Because Jesus said Scripture cannot be broken. Amen. The entire Bible is God's gift to us. The Bible says that all Scripture is inspired by God. The Apostle Paul called Jesus the living Word, didn't he? Uh-huh. The entire Bible from beginning to end tells us who Jesus is. Yeah. In Genesis, He is the Creator. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's our high priest. In Numbers, He is the cloud by day and the fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He is the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, He's the mighty conqueror. In Judges, He is the righteous ruler. In Ruth, He is our redeemer. In Samuel, He's the son of David. In Kings, He is the sovereign Lord. In Chronicles, He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The whole Bible is His story. In Ezra, He is our temple. In Nehemiah, He is the rebuilder of broken walls. In Esther, He is our intercessor. In Job, He is our ever-living redeemer. In the Psalms, He is my song and the reason why I sing. In Proverbs, He is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, He is the meaning of life. In the Song of Solomon, He is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000. In Isaiah, He is Emmanuel, God with us. In Jeremiah, He is the balm in Gilead. In Lamentations, He is the ever faithful one. In Ezekiel, He is the one who causes the dry bones to live again. In Daniel, He is the Ancient of Days, the everlasting God. In Hosea, He is the faithful one. In Joel, He is our refuge. In Amos, He's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, He is the Lord of the kingdom. In Jonah, He is our salvation. And in Micah, He is the good news of the gospel. He is the living Word. In Nahum, He is the jealous God. In Habakkuk, He is the Holy One. In Zephaniah, He is the one who restores. In Haggai, He is the cleansing fountain. In Zechariah, He is the one who was pierced for us. In Malachi, He is the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in His wings. Come on, somebody shout, He's my healer. That's the Old Testament, but the New Testament is all about Jesus too. In Matthew, He's the Messiah. In Mark, He's the miracle worker. In Luke, He is the Son of Man. And in John, He is the Son of God. Yeah. In Acts, he is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Romans, he is the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, he's the one who gives us victory. Galatians, he is the one who sets us free. In Ephesians, he is head of the church. In Philippians, he is the one who meets all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Oh, in Colossians, he is the image of the invisible God. In Thessalonians, he is our blessed hope. In Philippians and in Timothy, he is the mediator between God and man. There's nobody like Jesus. In Titus, he's the reason we serve. In Philemon, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. In James, he's the great physician. In Peter, he's our example. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he's the God of everlasting love. In Jude, he is the only wise God, our Savior. And in Revelation, he is the soon coming King. Somebody shout, there's nobody like Jesus. Oh, give him praise this morning. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of all governments. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The heavens can't contain him. The earth can't comprehend him. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Shout, there's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. Y'all better sit down or I'm gonna preach till Christmas Eve. The whole Bible is his story. It's not one turtle dove. It's not one testament. It's the whole thing. The old and the new. So next time you hear about the two turtle doves, I hope you remember that the whole Bible is his story. Amen. I'm looking for some two brave volunteers to be our turtle doves this morning. Do we have anybody willing to come today? Turtle doves, anybody? Huh? Turtle doves, do we have one in the back? Come on, we need a second one. Anybody else? All right, come on down. Got Thetis and Jasmine. Y'all going to be our turtle doves this morning. Okay. Y'all ready to sing? We're going to shout and sing and laugh today. All right. All right, so we'll go through all 12 days, or we'll go through each one. So we'll start with the turtle doves, and then we'll end with the partridge and the pear tree. Y'all ready to sing? Here we go.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves.
Hold on, we gotta have some dove action. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's do it again one more time. Release your inner dove this morning, okay? Y'all right, let's sing it again.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
All right, that's great. Yep, y'all stay right there. We're going to keep it going this morning. All right, the third gift, the third day of Christmas, three French hens represent the three gifts of the wise men. Matthew 2, verse 10 says that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Uh-huh. Jesus operates in the three offices of prophet, of priest, and of king. Uh-huh. And the gold represents his kingship. Not only is Jesus a king, but Jesus is the king. Then you have frankincense that represents his office as priest. Frankincense was the incense used in the temple as an offering of incense to God. And the Bible says that Jesus is our great high priest. But then the myrrh represents his office as prophet. You see, there's a lot of talk and a lot of debate around Christmas time about who Jesus is, and National Geographic always has their national lies about Jesus, and they try to pick apart the Christmas story, and then you have all of these critics in the news and on TV, and Islam, the Muslims get involved in this because Islam calls Jesus a prophet. They celebrate him as one of the prophets of Islam, but yet they reject his primary prophecy. This is what Jesus prophesied in Mark 8:31. Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. That is his greatest prophecy. And myrrh reminds us of that prophecy because myrrh is a fragrance used for burial. It was a foreshadowing that Jesus was born to die. And in his death, we have life. I need a French hen. We got a French hen. Anybody got a good French accent this morning? Huh? Huh? Do not be afraid to be a French hen. Come on, anybody brave enough? If y'all don't volunteer, I'm going to start picking you. We're going to do a church draft this morning. Got any French hens? French? We? No? Oh, that's the only French I know. Oh, okay, we got a French hen. Come on, let's hear it for Brandy this morning. So when we say three French hens, just say anything French. That's fine. But not like part of my French, like regular French. Oh, we'll have a good time, no? All right, y'all ready? All right, let's sing.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens. Three turtle doves. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Wee, I like that. Next, we have the four calling birds. Four calling birds represent the four evangelists, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels are God's calling birds, like birds with loud and distinctive voices. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written for the express purpose of calling people to Jesus. The end of the book of John says this, "Truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The four Gospels are God's calling birds to the world. Believe in Jesus and have life in his name. It is not just the four Gospels. Isaiah 58:1 says, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob, their sins." Listen, God is calling us and reminding us that we too should be his calling birds, announcing to the world that you have hope in Jesus. Amen. We ought to be like the Apostle Paul, who said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." All right, next, I need two volunteers who will bring their cell phones with them. Have y'all ever heard a pastor say that? Want to take out your phone in church? Usually pastors like to burn cell phones. Okay, but I need two volunteers to be our calling birds. All right. Let's hear it for the Andersons as they come down. So when we do the calling birds, you guys are going to call each other. Y'all ready? Oh, you don't have to actually. We'll just pretend. All right, y'all ready this morning? Here we go. Y'all tweeting each other. That's fun. I'm having fun. I don't know if y'all having fun. All right. Next, we have the five golden rings. The five golden rings are the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Exodus. Sounds like a medication. I laughed so hard, y'all got me on Exodus over here. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These five books are called the Torah in Hebrew. In Greek, they're called the Pentateuch. Everybody say Pentateuch.
Pentateuch.
All right, you speak in Greek this morning. Pentateuch means five books. Did you know that Jesus quoted more scripture from the Pentateuch than he did any other section of the Old Testament? They're important books. In these five books, we discover the creation of the world, the fall of man into sin and selfishness, and the love and the mercy of God. So I want to ask Christy, you're going to come and be our five golden rings this morning. Oh, well, you got one hand clap. One person likes you. That's a good start. Christy's going to be our five, and she's just going to confess by faith. She got a ring on that finger. This sermon form is brought to you by ChristianMingle.com. All right, y'all ready? Let's do it.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five golden rings. Four calling birds. Three finch hens. Two turtle doves. And a partridge in a pear
tree. Choo choo. All right, we got to get it together this morning. I love our church family. Y'all are way too much fun. Next, we have six geese a-laying. The six geese a-laying are reminders. Y'all are nervous already. The six geese a-laying are reminders of the 6 days of creation when God, by his word, brought forth life. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 31 says, God saw everything that he made. And indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And it was the end of the 6 days of creation. Not only did God create this world, but he also sustains it. Think about it. The hand of God hung the sun, the moon, and the stars in the heavens. He placed the earth in position and he commanded it to stay there. And if God can hold them up, he can hold you up too. Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forever. Amen. Now I need a goose to come lay an egg. Do I have a volunteer to be our goose a laying? Okay. Come on, give him a hand. He's a brave man to do this one. Brave man. Okay. Got the egg basket ready. I love it. I can't wait for this. I'm going to sit on the front row for this one. Are y'all ready? Let's do it.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six pieces.
Five golden rings. Four calling birds. Three French hens. Two turtle doves. And a partridge in a pear tree.
All right. So far, so good. I'm going to clear up some more room. I'm going to move up here. You guys can close in a little bit tighter. I love that. Goose laid egg. Don't worry. We only have a few more left. All right. Seven swans a-swimming. Seven swans. You ought to be familiar with this because we did a whole series on it this year. The seven swans are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 12. I'll read it for you. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to this grace given to how many of us? Each of us, okay? Each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, give encouragement. If it's to give, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So God has given each of us one of these seven gifts. You have at least one of these in your life as a child of God. And just as the swan grows from an ugly duckling into a beautiful, graceful bird, so do God's children as we allow the Holy Spirit to develop these gifts in us. Amen? So the seven swans of swimming are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And for our next one, I need a swan swimming and I need a swim coach. I need two volunteers, and I need two chairs. I'm going to steal two chairs this morning, okay? Okay? So you're the swim coach, okay? Here's how we're going to do this. I'm just going to start grabbing chairs this morning. Edibaba. Okay, so, swim coach, you're going to be up here on your platform, and then you're going to be...
You'll be swimming.
You ready? All right, here we go. Seven swans of swimming.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans of swimming. Six geese a laying.
Five golden rings,
four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
All right. So I'm going to get everybody to move. If you guys will move that way, all the way to the wall, we're going to run out of room pretty fast here. This next one's a real treat for you. The eight maids of milking. The eight maids of milking represent the eight beatitudes that Jesus pronounced on the sermon at the Sermon on the Mount. These eight blessings that Jesus proclaims represent the core values of Christian life. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We learned from the eight Beatitudes that when you do things God's way, God will bless you even in the face of adversity. When you are blessed by God, He gives you the peace to outlast the storm. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So the eight maids of milking are the eight Beatitudes. Okay, I need my maids of milking team to come forward at this time. Are y'all ready for this? Here we go. Everybody sing with us.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me eight maids of milking,
seven swans of swimming,
six geese a laying,
five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
All right. Next, we have the nine ladies dancing. The nine ladies dancing represent the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Look, when you make the decision to follow Jesus, you're making a commitment to allow the Holy Spirit to produce these things in your life. Somebody once said, if you call yourself a child of God, at some point there ought to be some family resemblance. Amen. You're a child of God, you ought to act like your Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit produces these things in our lives. This Christian life is a lifelong process of becoming more like Jesus. So come tell somebody, I'm a work in progress. All right, I need two ladies dancing, two volunteers. Okay, we got one in the back. Anybody need one more? Okay, there we go. Come on down to the Lord is right. So y'all could be our two ladies dancing, none of that club dancing, but I ain't worried about that with y'all anyway. Can't be twerking while the Lord is working. All right, so here we go. Your own expressive dance is good. Okay, go ahead.
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me nine ladies dancing, eight maids a milking, seven swans a swimming, six geese a laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
All right, we've only got three left. Don't worry, three left. We'll go eat lunch. All right, 10 lords a leaping. Now, you got to think, this is an old English song from the 1600s. An English lord represented authority and rule of law. In the same way, the 10 lords of leaping, God has given us the 10 commandments to establish boundaries for how we are to live. They're found in Exodus chapter 20. Don't worship anything other than God. Don't make idols. Don't take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And do not covet. God gives us these commandments, and they are a gift to us because God doesn't give them to hurt us. He gives us his commandments to serve as guardrails, to protect us and keep us from harm. I want to ask my father, since he's an authority figure, to come be our Lord of Leaping this morning. All right, y'all ready? Here we go.
On the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
10 lords of leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids of milking, 7 swans of swimming, 6 geese of laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Next is the 11 pipers piping. Now, these are talking about Scottish bagpipes, but 11 pipers piping are the 11 faithful apostles. These are the original disciples who remained faithful to Jesus. And out of the 11 faithful apostles, all but John were martyred for their faith. Obedience to God always comes at a cost. Of the 10 of them who were martyred, 7 of them were crucified. James was beheaded by Herod. Philip was crucified in Greece. Matthew was killed by the axe in Ethiopia. Andrew was also crucified in Greece. Peter was crucified in Rome the same year that the Apostle Paul was martyred. Bartholomew was beaten and crucified in India. Thomas was pierced by a spear. Simon the Zealot was crucified in Britain. Thaddeus was crucified in 72 AD. And James, the son of Alphaeus, was crucified in Egypt. We remember the 11 faithful apostles because they gave their all for Jesus. And they gave their all for us because they gave their lives spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. These were not fair weather Christians. They were believers who laid down their lives for Jesus. I think about when I became a credentialed minister, I had to study the history of the Assemblies of God and the history of missionaries and our fellowship. And one of the things that blew my mind is I was reading about the early missionaries, and when people would leave the United States to go into the mission field, they would pack their belongings in a coffin. And they were saying to everybody, to themselves and to God, I am in this till I die. I'm amazed at the determination, at the willingness to sacrifice of so many believers over the last 2,000 years who have paid the price for you and I to hear the gospel. Amen. And as we sing this song and we think about the 11 pipers piping, we should think about and remember the faithfulness of these apostles of the Lord. Well, can I have two volunteers to be our pipers piping this morning? Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Okay, all right. There we go. Let's hear for our pipers piping. All right, let's see what they got on the bagpipes.
On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping.
10 lords are leaping.
9 ladies dancing.
8 maids are milking.
7 swans are swimming.
6 geese are laying.
5 golden rings. 4 calling birds.
3 French hens.
2 turtle doves.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
On the 12th day of Christmas, the gift is 12 drummers drumming. And this is going to get into a little bit of history here, but the 12 drummers represent the 12 points of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is a list of 12 things that were compiled by church leaders to help people learn the foundational truths of Christianity. Here they are. Number one, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. 2, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. 3, that he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. 4, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried and descended into hell. 5, on the third day he rose again, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. 6, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. 7, I believe in the Holy Spirit. 8, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. This is not talking about the Roman Catholic Church, is talking about the universal church. That's what Catholic means. Number 9, I believe in the communion of the saints. 10, in the forgiveness of sins. 11, the resurrection of the body. And 12, in life everlasting. Amen. Do y'all believe that too? The 12 drummers drumming remind us that we have to know what we believe. We live in a world of confusion and conflicting truths, but God's word is the ultimate truth. Tell somebody, know what you believe. So I want to ask Galen, our drummer, to come and be our 12 drummers drumming today. Okay, everybody, this is our last chance. So I want you to sing at the top of your lungs, and all of our participants, you guys be as dramatic as you can. This is your finale this morning. Are you ready? Here we go.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
12 drummers drumming,
11 pipers piping,
10 lords a-leaping,
9 ladies dancing,
8 maids a-milking,
7 swans a-swimming,
6
geese a-laying,
5 golden rings,
calling birds. Three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
Come on, let's hear it for our volunteers this morning. You guys did an amazing job. I love it. I'm glad I came to church today. I love it. Thank you guys for being such good sports this morning. As we sing through the 12 days of Christmas, every line of the song says, "My true love gave to me." And in case you don't know who that's talking about God. He is our true love. Because nobody ever truly loved us like God loved us. The Bible says in 1 John that we love him because he first loved us. Let me tell you how much God loves you. The Bible says that he demonstrates his love for you in this, that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. We didn't deserve to be set free. We didn't deserve to be forgiven. But God, in his infinite love and mercy, when we were at our very worst, he loved us enough to give his very best to win us back, to set us free, to give us hope, to give us a new beginning. The greatest Christmas gift of all is the gift of eternal life through Jesus. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave. He gave Jesus to pay the price for you and for me. And as we think about that this morning, will you stand to your feet as we pray for just a moment? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you, God, for your incredible love, that you would love us when we were at our very worst and send your best. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just want to say thank you this morning with grateful hearts. Thank you for all that you've done for us, for all that you're doing. Lord, we thank you and give you glory this morning. As we continue to pray, Jesus is God's greatest gift. And the truth is, you won't find salvation or hope anywhere else. It's only found in Jesus. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." The truth is, Jesus is the only way to God. And the wonderful news for you and me is that God offers salvation. He offers eternal life freely to anybody who would receive it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Every other religion says do. Do this and don't do that. Follow these rules. Go on a pilgrimage. Don't eat this, eat that. Every other religion gives you a list of things that you have to do to become right with God. But Jesus said, "It's done." When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished. The work is over." Jesus already did the work for you to know God. He already did the work for you and paid the price for you to be in right standing with your Creator. Salvation is God's free gift to all who would receive it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Christ Jesus our Lord. You have an opportunity today, right now, to receive eternal life, to receive the forgiveness of your sins, to live the kind of life that God created you to live. So I encourage you to make this Christmas the best Christmas of your life. Let this be the Christmas when you received the greatest Christmas gift, when you received salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not right with God, I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you put your faith in Jesus, to let Him set you free today. And I want to ask everybody, if you're willing to, let's pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You came for me. I believe You died on the cross for me. I believe that God raised You from the dead. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and make me clean. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I receive Your gift. I receive Your mercy. I receive eternal life. In Your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and meant it with all your heart, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. And I want to ask every one of you right now, if you have been washed in the blood of Jesus, if your sins have been forgiven, will you just lift up your hands and just thank God for a moment? Lord, we thank You. Lord, You washed our sins away. While we were yet sinners, Jesus, You died for us. We thank You, God, You loved us when we were at our very worst, and You still gave Your best for us. We thank You, God, that You have washed us, You have cleansed us, You have set us free. We thank You that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we thank You, God, that our past is under the blood. All of our faults and failures, it's under the blood of Jesus. We've been set free by the blood of the Lamb, and we praise You this morning. We thank You, God, that You gave us hope. We were dead in our sins, and You came and met us and gave us eternal life. And Lord, we just thank You, and we praise You, and we worship You. Thank You for Your greatest gift. Lord, may we never forget the main event in Christmas time and all the busyness and the hustle and bustle and the gift giving and the gift buying and all of the meetings and the meals and gatherings. Lord, may we never forget, Lord, that You are the reason and You came for us. Father, I pray, God, that You would use every one of us to be a light to those around us this Christmas. Lord, that we would shine the light of Jesus to our family and to our friends. Lord, that we would let the love of God flow out of us. Lord, we want everybody to know. We want everybody to have this wonderful gift of eternal life. We want everybody to know You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's remain in